Welcome to the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association's Patients Come First podcast series. Podcast episodes are available on VHHA.com and on popular podcast hosting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, and many others. We're a member of the Public Health Podcast Network, the Virginia Audio Collective, and the Family Podcast Network. Podcast episodes also air each Saturday at noon and Sunday at 10 a.m. on 100.5 FM, 92.7 FM, and 820 a.m. across Central Virginia, and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. on 93.9 FM in Richmond. Please send questions, comments, feedback, or guest suggestions to pcfpodcast@vhha.com. Again, that's pcfpodcast@vhha.com. And today we're thrilled to have UVA Health CEO Dr. Craig Kent as our guest. Dr. Kent also serves as Executive Vice President for Health Affairs at the University of Virginia and is a member of the VHHA Board of Directors. He joins us for a conversation about his career and work, as well as a discussion about some exciting clinical research being conducted at UVA Health. So with that, welcome to the show, Dr. Kent. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Look forward.
Well, we really appreciate it. We'd like to start each episode by giving our guests a chance to share more of their personal story. You've had a lengthy and distinguished career as a researcher, educator, and physician, including leadership roles at academic medical centers at Ohio State University and the University of Wisconsin, so there's a Big Ten vibe there, as well as Cornell and Columbia. You've spent more than a quarter century conducting clinical research. You're a prolific author for academic medical journals and a sought-after guest lecturer. Those are impressive resume highlights, but I imagine there is much more to your story. So if you would, just tell us about yourself and what led you to medicine.
Well, thanks for the question. Maybe to begin with, I would say I'm incredibly privileged to be able to lead UVA Health, and I've really been lucky throughout my career to be able to accomplish a lot, and it's been incredibly fun and interesting adventure. I started growing up on a cattle ranch in Nevada. Many years ago, I was supposed to take over the ranch from my father, and some circuitous path led me to medicine. And what I learned early is that medicine brings you many different opportunities. And as my career evolved, I had the chance to be a busy vascular surgeon. That's my area of expertise. So many hours in the operating room, and I've worked with many patients over the years. I've also had the opportunity to be involved in research. I still run a basic science laboratory, and we've been funded by the NIH for over 30 years. I love the educational mission, which is an essential part of an academic health system. But actually, recently, I really enjoyed the opportunity to lead in a variety of different ways. You can change the world one patient at a time, or you can change the world in a more dramatic way. And I think these leadership roles that I've had the chance to be involved with have allowed me to have the opportunity to make a substantial change to individual organizations and even nationally and internationally. So a wonderful adventure, and one that I'm still on and enjoying my time at UVA Health, but just fortunate to be able to have the various opportunities that I've had during my career.
Healthcare's constant complexities and distractions can make it difficult to focus on medicine. Covaris can help. Covaris offers medical liability insurance, value-based care risk protection, employer stop-loss insurance, and so much more. You can count on Covaris for protection and services that help you stay free to focus on improving clinical, operational, and financial outcomes. Find out all that Covaris can offer you at Covaris.com. That's Coverys.com. Insurance products issued by Medical Professional Mutual Insurance Company and its insurance subsidiaries. Well, it's always interesting to hear the paths that people take from their formative years into their professional lives. So the fact that you grew up on a cattle ranch in Nevada, as you said, it's a circuitous path. So it's very interesting to hear. I appreciate you sharing that. You talked about your leadership role with UVA Health. You've been with UVA Health for a few years now. For background for our listeners, UVA Health is an integrated health system with a world-class academic medical center featuring a level one trauma center, a level four NICU, the first NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in Virginia, and UVA Health Children, which is the number one pediatric hospital in Virginia. The system also includes three community hospitals, a specialty rehabilitation hospital, and a network of primary and specialty care clinics throughout Virginia. In short, it is a state entity that provides acute and emergent medical care to patients in need, an academic institution that trains future physicians, nurses, and clinicians, and a thriving hub of research. From your vantage, Dr. Kent, what are some of the hallmarks and distinguishing characteristics of UVA Health?
Well, thanks for that description. I think you have it rehearsed better than I do, so I'm quite impressed. So my career has been focused at academic health systems, and there's a uniqueness to what academic health systems provide versus a community health system. all health systems are important, so one's not more important than the other. But in an academic health system, we're focused on a number of different goals. And one of those is to provide care to the most complex of patients. So if you think of a cancer patient or a cardiovascular patient or a transplant patient that isn't able to receive the differentiated care in their local system, we're here and available in the academic medical center to be able to take care of those patients. And so the more differentiated programs we can grow, the better, more that we can keep people from needing to leave the state of Virginia for their care. There are very few areas at this point of time where a patient with a complex problem wouldn't be able to receive services at UVA Health. But there are still opportunities, and that's in the future for us to be more successful in taking care of those types of patients. Research is another part of an academic health system that's really important. UVA for many, many years has been a research center of a great deal of prestige, but we really want to grow that. And one of the initiatives that we've had over the last few years is to develop a biotech institute, which will be a 350,000 square foot research building that's focused on translational research, bringing ideas that are generated in the laboratory to truly patient care. And so growing the research enterprise here is another area that we're really focused on. I guess the last area where academic centers, I think, have a lot of potentials to take care of everyone, including the indigent patients that don't otherwise have the opportunity for care. Doors are open to everyone at UVA Health. We are excited about being a statewide organization that serves the people of the state regardless of their economic backgrounds. And that's something that I think we do really well likewise. So those are some of the areas where I think an academic health system like UVA differentiates itself from others. And we're really excited about all of the initiatives that we have going forward.
Well, you made several key points there that I want to just underscore. One is Virginia is blessed to have a wide array of health systems, from community health systems to larger institutions like UVA Health. So it's reassuring, I think, to anyone who knows that at some point they may need medical care, emergent medical care in their hour of need, that there are resources available, there's infrastructure available in the Commonwealth for that. You reference research and biotech and biosciences, which is a segue to what we're going to talk about in just a second. And then you also reference indigent care, which I think is important. We always want to reiterate the notion that hospitals across the Commonwealth are providing just a significant amount of charity care to individuals who are uninsured or underinsured. And we always just want to remind people as well that Medicaid expansion, which happened in Virginia in 2018 and took effect in 2019, is happening in Virginia and continues to exist in Virginia to serve those low-income adults who previously didn't have access to coverage with financial support from the hospital community, which is paying the state share of costs associated with that program, which amounts to, candidly, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. So hospitals are very much invested both in public health and community health, but also in making sure that patients who may be of more limited means can still access that health care that they need. So some key points there that you raised, and just wanted to underscore those. Dr. Kent, you just mentioned research and biotechnology and biosciences. I did want to use that as a segue to get to our next topic here, which is there's a particular area of high-tech clinical research that's occurring at UVA Health whose intent is to help spare heart and dialysis patients from having to undergo multiple surgeries. This area of investigation involves nanotechnology, which in simple terms is the use of matter on a near atomic scale to produce materials and structures. We're talking about minuscule things that are not visible to the naked eye. To borrow a pop culture reference for context, fans of the Marvel movies may recognize nanotech particles as the basis for the Iron Man suit. In the real world, Dr. Kent and a team of UVA researchers are using a grant from the National Institutes of Health to pioneer a technique of painting tiny nanotech particles on transplanted veins in cardiovascular and dialysis patients to prevent the veins from becoming clogged again, which is a documented challenge in vascular transplant patients that can lead to the need for additional surgery. So with that overview, Dr. Kent, please tell us about this research work and its potential to benefit patients.
No, absolutely. So this is a research that I've been involved with for the last 20 years. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a vascular surgeon, and so people develop blocked arteries, and we have lots of really fantastic interventions now where we can go in and do a bypass around those blocked arteries or an angioplasty to fix the arteries. And a lot of innovation over the last 20 years that are really helping people with cardiovascular disease. The problem is that it isn't unoften that the blockage comes back. And in some ways, these patients are having double jeopardy. they think they're in good shape, they're cured of the problem, but months later or years later, the blockage comes back. So the focus of my research has been to try to devise ways, once the initial intervention is performed, to keep the blockage from coming back. So we know that there are certain drugs that are available that if you apply them at the time of the bypass or the angioplasty, the initial intervention, that they can actually keep the disease from coming back. My laboratory has been working on different drugs that can accomplish that, and we've made a lot of progress, and there are quite an array of drugs now that are available. But the important next step is to be able to get those drugs to the right place at the right time. And the right place is the place where the bypass was performed or the place where the angioplasty was performed. So we've utilized a technology that's been around for a few years but is evolving rapidly called nanotechnology. And what we're able to do is put the drug of choice in this tiny, minute particle and then paint the drug and the nanoparticles onto a bypass graft or have the drug and the nanoparticle go to the site of the angioplasty. And so the drug's in the right place at just the right time, and then the consequence is that the disease doesn't come back. The drug keeps the disease from coming back. So the novelty of this work that the NIH is supporting is all about drug delivery, being able to get the drug to the right place at the right time using a nanotechnology platform. It's pretty innovative. We think over the next few years, we'll be able to have first-in-man trials using this drug. You know, as I mentioned earlier with our biotech institute, the focus is to take discoveries that are in the laboratory, like the one that I just described, and then have them first-in-man patient trials, and then be able to truly translate these to therapies that will save patients' lives and limbs over the years to come. So that's a brief summary of the work that we're doing. We're really excited about it, and again, making a tremendous amount of progress.
Well, it sounds very promising, and it's good to know that you and the team at UVA are very much engaged in this. You mentioned biotech research. This is a priority at UVA Health, as you mentioned, and it's an area of focused expansion. As you know, Dr. Kent, VHHA is also supporting the Virginia Coordinated Clinical Research Network, which is an entity established in state law to promote greater coordination and collaboration to strengthen the clinical research footprint in the Commonwealth. UVA serves on the advisory council of this organization alongside other Virginia academic and healthcare institutions. I wonder if you just might share with our audience a big picture overview of the blossoming biotech and life science research entity, if you will, and the potential for discoveries to improve health outcomes.
Yeah, so we created this vision, I would say about 2.5 years ago, that Virginia needed a center or centers that were involved in translational research, the biotech research. And if you look at what's happened in medicine over the last 20 years, it's almost amazing. I mean, we have therapies now to treat various types of cancers that can either prolong survival or cure the cancers. We have ways now of treating sickle cell anemia, gene therapies for sickle cell anemia that weren't available years ago. So a lot of progress is being made in medicine and the treatments that are available. The goal of our biotech initiative is to try to have those treatments developed here in the state of Virginia. Here at UVA, we also have collaborations with VCU and Virginia Tech, which are great centers for translational research likewise. And so this is the initiative that we've been carrying forward. I think ultimately the goal is to have people in the state of Virginia have access to these new therapies as quickly as possible. And you mentioned an initiative through VHHA to try to increase the number of clinical trials that are available through the state of Virginia. We're very much participant in that and excited about that. It turns out that Virginia has a lot of people that are quite diverse in nature, and it's an incredible opportunity for us to take these new drugs, these new therapies, or even companies that have new drugs and therapies, and give patients in Virginia a first shot at being able to have access to those therapies. So we're very invested in developing what I'll call a statewide clinical trials network that really joins the hospitals of Virginia together. So once again, patients in Virginia can have treatments first out, not have to wait for them to be tested in other parts of the country and then come to Virginia, but have them tested first here in Virginia. So a great initiative that VHHA is doing, something we want to participate in, and I think an opportunity for all of the people in the Commonwealth.
That collaboration has future potential benefits for Virginia patients, which is really the goal. So great to hear that that work is going on. Turning back briefly to the nanotech research at UVA, you've indicated, Dr. Kent, that the goal of this research is to, quote, develop the first therapy that can reduce graft failure rates in patients who receive vascular reconstruction surgeries as a means of benefiting patients. I don't want to ask you to make a timeline prediction of this particular body of research because there are so many unknowns, but to just give people some perspective, What is a typical expected timeline for research of this scale? In other words, realistically, how long does it take for clinical research projects of this nature to go through all the stages of investigation, clinical research, trial, regulatory approvals, and the like before a new interventional technique might become an available treatment option?
No, it's a great question. So first of all, there's a period where the formative work is being accomplished. And so this is an area that we've been working on for 10 years. We've had multiple NIH grants that have supported this work. And from the point where we first started to where we are now, which is at a fairly advanced preclinical stage, it's been about 10 years to get to that point. In terms of then what does it take to get through the FDA, get a first-in-man trial, and eventually get through all of the phases of clinical trials to the point where you have a therapy that's widely available, that number is a pretty high number of years. It could be in the range of 10 to 15 years. But I think that nationally, we and others, the FDA, have been trying to find ways to shorten that translational phase. And my sense is that, at least for this research, we could be in clinical trials, phase one clinical trials, as early as 5 years from now. Again, you know, for the protection of patients, the safety of patients, there are a number of boxes to check along the way. And we need to prove that the therapy actually works in patients. Just because it works in the preclinical phase doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work in patients. So we need to be thoughtful and careful about it. But I think there's a general across the country theme of trying to shorten the phase of translation so that it is less than the 15 years that I described. And again, with this particular technology, we hope it to be in patients within at least 5 years.
Well, we wish you good luck in advancing through the appropriate steps to get this to clinical trials, because it sounds like it has a lot of promise. And it is really fascinating stuff to think about the potential for new advances in patient care through clinical research generally. For anyone listening who wants to learn more about clinical research at UVA, please visit the following website, which is makingofmedicine.virginia.edu. Again, that's makingofmedicine.virginia.edu. Dr. Kent, before we wrap up, we do have a tradition on this podcast to close things out by asking our guests a pair of sort of fun, quirky, personal questions. To keep things interesting, we have a list of 10 mystery questions from which you can choose from. So if you select two numbers between 1 and 10, I will ask you the corresponding questions.
Okay, 1 and 9.
Okay, 1. In the hypothetical scenario that you could anticipate your final day on Earth, what would your last meal be?
Duck. I absolutely, completely love duck. I grew up on this cattle ranch where we used to hunt ducks, and they're delicious, and that would be a great exit from the world.
Okay. And what are the fixins? What are the sides that go with that?
Oh, dressing. The dressing has to be great. And then the way the duck is cooked is really important. My mother used to use orange juice to make a sauce around the duck that was absolutely delicious. But I'm a pretty desperate guy, so I take anything that's related to duck. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay. Well, that is my experience with duck. I've had it a few times, and I think preparation is key on it. I think if it's done well, it can be really tasty. I've also had some preparation where I was like, oh, they probably overcooked it. It seems like a very sort of finicky meat in terms of preparation. It's my limited experience with it.
Well, since I plan on being this world for, I would say, at least another 30 years, we're going to have some time to mature that recipe. So I think it'll be all good.
Here's hoping. Fingers crossed on that. And then number 9, if you were miraculously granted one wish, what would you wish for?
I would wish for health and prosperity first for my family, which I care deeply for. And I would wish for health and prosperity for all of the patients that come to UVA Health. They're important to us. They're the reason that we're here. We have 18,000 people that work at UVA Health. They care deeply about our patients, and I would wish for their ultimate success.
Well, that response is just in line with the name of this podcast, which is Patients Come First, and it is the thrust of what healthcare providers across Virginia and across the U.S. are focused on, which is the best possible outcomes for patients. So, Dr. Kent, we appreciate you being with us today, for making a few minutes in your busy schedule to accommodate us. And with that, we come to the close of another episode of the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association's Patients Come First podcast. If you like what you heard, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe so that you know when new episodes are available. We want to once again thank our guest, Dr. Craig Kent of UVA Health, for joining us today. So thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks so much. Really enjoyed it.